I've entitled this commentary on Psalms 12, The Faithful Disappear. We'll have a lot to consider. In Psalms 12, the picture is the Lord being called upon to correct a critical situation for the saint. Verse 1. A failing or ceasing presence or influence of the saint from among the children of men. Verse 1. The children of men gravitating towards an attitude and a language that takes world matters upon themselves. And that's between verses 2 and 4 there. The children of men heading towards a judgment based upon the tangible oppressive results of those attitudes and words which they fling about. Verse 5. The vile influence over the children of men by certain vile men, who are in turn surrounded by the influence of wicked men. Verse 8. Contained within there, we see the importance to the saint of the Lord's judgment over these things and the purity of the Lord's words there in verses 6 through 7. Now, there's something about this situation that is causing the saint ceasing or failing. Either the saint is causing it upon the children of men by his failing or ceasing, or, as in caused upon him, the saint, a result of what the children of men are actually doing. And perhaps both considerations should be made. The Lord is being called to perform this correction in David's generation. He's been called to make this correction in generations ever since. Question for us would be, would it be right for today's saint to call upon the Lord in similar fashion again for yet another correction? In Psalms 12, we see character profiles developing both of the saint and of the broader spectrum, quote, children of men, meaning all men. That includes the righteous, that includes the wicked, that includes everything in between, right? That's the children of men, the big picture. First, there are two descriptions in 12:1 given of the saint. One, that he's a godly man, which means properly that he's kind, that he is religiously pious, or a saint. It means merciful. The second description is the faithful, right? Faithful there is properly meaning to build up or to support, to foster as a parent or as a nurse. In other words, to nurture. So here in the profile of the saint, we're seeing him as kind, religiously pious. Now, pious is a bad word nowadays in the English language. It's taken on a whole different connotation than it originally did back in the day of the King James translators. Pious was a good thing. It meant kind. It meant godly. It meant merciful. It meant these things. But see, nowadays when we think of pious, we think of someone with their nose up in the air and that's hypocritical and you know, just made a wreck out of the faith. Funny how language changes. So the profile here is of him being pious in positive terms, in old-fashioned terms, right? And him being nurturing. Then there's two things observed by the psalmist, David, about these men's presence and their influence among the children of men. One, that it's ceasing, which means it's ending. It's coming to an end, or it's coming to a failure, or it's nearly over, right? And then the second thing it's talking about is it's failing. This presence or this influence is failing, which means to disperse. It means to obliterate. It means to disappear, cease. So let's ask ourselves, is this the condition that we find ourselves in today? This condition of failing and ceasing of kind, pious, supportive, nurturing men. Second, Between verses 2 and 5, we get a broader character profile of the children of men. Not all-encompassing, but enough here that for our purposes today, we can get by with this initial profile. This is really the first time in the Psalms that we've studied so far in this Back to the Psalms series that it's one of the first Psalms that hasn't been focusing either on the saint or on the wicked. But now it's being all-inclusive, right? It's the broader spectrum, the broader sphere. All of us are children of Adam or children of men. The wicked here really doesn't come into the picture until 12:8. Now, notice this profile beginning in 12:2. They, meaning the children of men, speak vanity. Everyone with his neighbor. Now, perhaps they don't see it as vanity. You know, vanity is something completely different. And remember how they've changed the language here. Vanity means something completely different. Here it means desolation or ruin. Everyone with his neighbor. Also in 12:2, profile develops that they, the children of men, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Okay, flattering here in the old sense meaning smooth or slippery. And double heart meaning a stiff or stout or hardened of feelings, of will, of intellect, of character. From this they speak. So it's both an attitude that they have about this and it's a language. There in 12:3 it says they, the children of men, it's implied, with flattering lips. And tongue speaketh proud things, boastful things, right? All that they've done, all that they're going to do. Oh, they're just, you know, this close, you know, from being gods in their own eyes, in a certain sense, right? It's an attitude, it's a language. 12:4 talks about them with their tongue. This is what they're saying. Okay, with our tongue, we will prevail. Gives you the sense that they're taking matters into their own hands and by, you know, the things that they're saying, the things that they're seeking to accomplish, the attitude and the language and everything, that they're going to prevail. All these ails of mankind, all this, toil and tribulation and turmoil and everything, they're going to prevail. This is, you know, the larger body, the all-encompassing body of mankind. They also say in 12:4, our lips are our own. We own what we're going to say, right? What's coming out of our lips, we own it. It's our thoughts, not God's. It's ours, not Christianity's or religion's or whatever. It's ours. From our heart of hearts, deceptive as that heart can often be. And they say in 12:4, who is Lord over us? Well, we see in 12:5 that they, the children of men, are to be held accountable. Notice what they're being held accountable for. It's not the attitude or the words that they're being held accountable. It's not even for all the other sins that they cause upon each other. What they're being held accountable for is very specific in the direction of oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy. Okay, they're saying they're going to do this. They say they're going to prevail. They've got this whole attitude and this whole language. They've changed the language just so they can, you know, flatter the and speak vanity and with a double heart, you know, a stiff, hardened heart, flattering lips, tongue, speaking proudly about these things. What is the result of all this? I mean, if you take all the fluff and you take all the flattery out and you take all the pride and all the, hey, we're going to prevail and away from it, what's the actual result of what they say and what their attitude's all about? Well, they're going to be judged on the account of oppression of the poor, the ravaging or the robbery or the spoil of the poor. Poor here, we've talked about this before. There's several different Hebrew words that we've translated as poor. This word poor is talking about the depressed in mind and the depressed in circumstance. They're going to be held accountable for the sighing or the shrieking or crying out of the needy, which in the Hebrew means destitute. Now, doesn't this sound like our earlier description of the wicked here? But it's not. This is a description of the all-encompassing mankind. It's a description of a society. And I see it as a society that is, despite all their compassion, despite all their good, despite all what they're intending to do, they're easily manipulated by the wicked to do the wicked's own work. That's why these words and these attitudes and the results of them sound so familiar to the profile that we know of as the wicked. So here's another question. We ask this about the saint. Let's ask this about mankind. Is this a valid assessment of our present state as children of men? Should we be calling to the Lord for a correction of this at this present time? Given the two profiles, children of men and saint, partially developed here in Psalms 12, is it that David, the psalmist, is suggesting perhaps that the saint is ceasing or failing because they're up against the children of men as much as or more than the wicked? Could he be suggesting that the saint, because the saint has ceased or failed in past tense now, because of that ceasing or failing, therefore the children of men have become this? Or is he suggesting that the saints cease and fail because the saints cease and fail at being godly, you know, this kind, pious, good, merciful person, and faithful, where they're building up, they're supporting, they're nurturing, you know, they're off in their own corner, they're not dealing with any of this, right? They've ceased doing that, and therefore society as a whole has this caused upon them. Is this what their absence means amongst the children of men? Because we're not this kind, pious, good, merciful, because we've left off building up and supporting and nurturing, we're going to have an interesting time today considering these and other options more fully. Let's begin by just asking, why are the godly and faithful ceasing and disappearing?